This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, and welcome back to Seagull Social, Series 3, Episode 38. I am one of your hosts, Ben. I'm with Maz and Ryan, and if you can't tell, I'm very deflated, very tired, and this is going to be a tough episode. Boys, how are we doing? Maz, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm alright, mate. I mean, obviously, not with the result, but in life, I'm alright. It was one of those things, isn't it? It's like, I'm sure we'll get into it, but we played well. We were the better side, you know. Didn't take the chances, the few chances we had. I'm not saying we had loads of chances, and we weren't like drastically that good. I think we were actually quite under par from what we usually are. And it just wasn't our day, and then you get to penalties, and it's always going to be one. It's like a lottery, isn't it, really? I know there's skill to it, and someone pointed out there is a skill to penalties, but also you could be the best penalty taker in the world, and come the occasion, you could miss a penalty. So,
someone has to miss.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's got to lose. So, just one of those things. And, of course, I was for about an hour after, I was like, really bad in a bad way. But then, I just thought, do you know what? Man City are going to win the treble, so have that, Man United. and then I thought, you know what, Man United fans, you can suck a dick. How about that?
We could have put a stop to the treble, I reckon. Brian, how are you feeling after yesterday?
Yeah, my hurt went, well, I say it went, it intensified about 20 past 8 this morning when I was at the station waiting for a train. And there's, I'm sure there are Palace fans at Billingshurst, probably if you're in Billingshurst. And there are just kids laughing about Solly March. And obviously one of their mates was a Brighton fan, I'd assume. And they're taking a mick, and they're taking a mick. Solly March skied it. How did he miss it? And I was just standing there, because it was before I put my headphones in, and I just thought, 8:20 in the morning. I can't.
Imagine if you got clocked
like,
as well.
It's just the last
You'd be
thing.
Like, yeah. Getting bullied by school
and I just
kids.
Thought, yeah, mate, it's when you hear school kids, like, don't get me wrong, yeah, school banter's funny, whatever, but when it's that early in the morning and you're just thinking, yeah, it's still a bit raw, innit? And you just think, yeah, whatever. But anyway, it's all right, because we've got, at least we get to bounce back nice and quickly against Nottingham Forest. Well, hopefully, in theory, anyway. That's what is a good...
Like they say, Ryan.
It gets the focus to move quickly.
It does. Like I say, the best way to get over someone is by getting under someone. And it's similar to in football. The best way to get over a result is to move on to another match. And yeah, Forrest, please, just do the business there. I hope the boys aren't too deflated for it. Well, that's the end of the podcast. Cheers for coming. Thank you very much. mate, Ryan, your laugh sounded like Alexis McAllister's then. You're like, and it's a bit
yeah, it's the fake
well.
Laugh, mate. And
it's a fake laugh.
What we'll say is, one thing I will say is a big message to Solly, because he must be, if we're deflated, I can't imagine what that boy's thinking this morning. It must be pretty tough. So I hope he's all right, because I hope he does use it as a bit of fuel. I know he'll put on his Instagram saying he's using it as something to push on for, but deep down it's going to hurt him, right? And I hope that You know, he bounced back at Forest. It is a good opportunity against, you know, I know they're a tough team to play away or whatever, but it's a good opportunity for him to, you know, potentially get a goal back, and that all of a sudden it will be forgotten if he can. So hopefully, you know, it doesn't ring in his mind, because he's been fantastic this season. You know, even from the harshest Solly critic out there, he has been fantastic this year. He's been probably one of our best players, if not our best attacker. Yeah. Behind Matoma, really, and you know, you can't really knock him. So yes, hopefully he's not taking anything too harsh, and you know, he bounces back.
Mm. Before we get too involved in the game, how was everyone's days? I absolutely loved it. It was a great day, which is probably why I'm also gutted, because just having those days out with your mates, going to Wembley, yeah, is just incredible. They don't come around too often for Brighton anyway. Obviously the bigger clubs, it's pretty much, well, for Man City, it's their home.
Next
from home.
Year, mate,
they
play there
more than they do in other stadiums. Yeah. Yeah, next year, hopefully, we'll do it again. But the day was incredible. I loved it so much. Shame I didn't get to link up to you with you two. But imagine you went to Box Park, bumped into Ryan there. How was that?
Yeah. So, yeah, I actually started on the Green Man.
Yeah, you started at the Green Man, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, started in the Green Man. And, yeah, I stayed there for about an hour and a bit. And then, yeah, headed over to Box Park. By the way, just on the Green Man, atmosphere was brilliant, really good. Like, it was quite funny. Yeah. There was like a few tents, and like one of them was like a proper, like, basically like just ruckus, you know, everyone
like
trying
gazebo
to learn songs. like gazebos, and everyone was like going mad, singing songs. It was great. And then the other tent was a bit more reserved, and sort of everyone was chilling. So I loved the contrast between the two gazebos. That was good fun. And then we made our way down to Box Park. And again, atmosphere was class. Like there was one point where everyone was like swinging their scarves in the air, and you know, the music was pumping, and yeah, it was just good vibes. A lot of people there, like a lot of ex-players as well. Dale Stevens, I saw. Steve Sidwell.
Yeah, Dale. That was Steve
Sidwell. It was a good few faces as well. So, yeah, and Box Park was great. And then, obviously, yeah, headed to the stadium. Obviously, linked up with Ryan in Box Park, obviously. And then, yeah, headed over to the stadium about 45 minutes before kickoff. And then, yeah, the rest is history.
Yeah, we're with a celebrity, as Brett Mendoza said on his tweet, Ryan. How was your pre-match? You went on Sky Sports, which is for the second time, that was sick. I saw that screenshot this morning, so first time I went on my phone. Yeah, that must be.
Do you know what? I like to use this. Yeah, no, it was cool. Do you know what? It was fun. I only found out really quite soon before the actual trip, and I was only parking up on the park on your drive things. So I was parking up on one of them, and Paul Cameron, shout Paul, messaged me. He was like, "Oh, when are you at Box Park?" I said, "Oh, I'll be in the next sort of 20 minutes. I'm just parking up now," and he says, "Yes, Sky want you for 135. I was like, "Okay, cool. All right, come in." And all of a sudden, next thing I know, the like cameraman's on the phone. He's like, "Hello, mate. Yeah." I was like, "Oh, yeah. All right, mate. Yeah. Come in. And nice little VIP entrance. And in there was Tony Bloom and Paul Barber. And now I was just standing there.
No way.
Like, "Oh, guys, you're right. Yeah. I was like, thinking, no pressure.
That was well cool.
And Tony Bloom was standing next to me while I was doing it. But it was, I don't think they saw me, but it was.
Mate, that must have been surreal, though.
It was cool.
They probably did.
Yeah. I didn't speak to them, though. Like when I'd finished, and all the lights had gone and whatever, I turned around and Bloom was talking to someone else, because I wanted to make a thing of sort of going over to say it or something, but he was still talking, so I thought I looked like a bit of a weirdo just sort of hanging about on my own. So I just made my way out. I thought, okay, I won't stick around too much. But yeah, I was going to milk it a little bit, but I couldn't just take the mic, if you know what I mean. But I did see they put the Seagull social tag on the Sky thing, which is good.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what they were going to put on, so I was like, write that.
Super surreal seeing that. Obviously class for you flying the flag for us as well. Very, very good. Seagull Social to the moon, as we've been saying recently.
To the moon.
So let's move on to the match, I guess, if we have to. I reckon first half, better team.
If we have to. Let's talk about each other's days if you want, mate.
Yeah, no, I would rather just do that. It was really good. But yeah, no, it was. The pre-match was great, as it always is. The match, atmosphere was great. We all had our flags, didn't we? And then I was thinking, God, Man United haven't got anything. I thought that was really strange. And then literally right towards the end, they all had their plaques up, and then they got the TIFO out, and I was like, okay, yeah, fair play. That looks pretty sick. Still probably preferred our flags, the blue and white stuff. But yeah, pre-match was great. I think I haven't been that early into a stadium before for a long, long time, but obviously you had to do that to soak up the atmosphere and stuff. And it was well worth it. Brilliant. I think the fans were great. It's always really difficult, I'll be honest, like when you're in a big stadium and you get, like Spurs away was the last time I had it, trying to match up the atmosphere, and it's really, really difficult when you've got a pocket of fans like in that standing section trying to start songs, and then have 35,000 other people on our half try and sing it with us. It's very difficult, but so there's a lot of LB and a Seagulls chants, not as many of like the individual ones that I can remember. But what did you make of our atmosphere? What was it like where you guys were sitting? Yeah, Maz, we'll go over you.
Yeah, mate. I was in the upper tier. And do you know what? Really weirdly as well. I didn't expect it. I think Dale Stevens was sat up there, so I was like, "How? Why is he up here with the rest of us peasants?"
Yeah, should be like, thinking of like good seats.
Yeah. I was like,
to be
surely
fair,
he can't
actually,
be up
he went
here.
City but, away as well. I saw him in the City away end once. So yeah, Dale was go home and away for us. That's yeah, he actually was. I forgot about that. That's actually rung a bell.
Yeah, and apparently as well, I don't know how true this is, but my mate was saying that apparently Dunkey's missus was up there as well. So I was like, what's going on here then? So we must have the best seats, I think. I was up in the gods, and it was really good atmosphere, really good, like really loud, people getting involved. Like you said, Ben, like when sort of the lower tiers were starting the chants, everyone was joining in the upper tiers. And then, yeah, it was just good. Oh, when we were literally right next to the Man United fans. On the border,
the
upside, it wasn't too bad. To be fair, they weren't giving it some really, they weren't really giving it much at all. To be honest,
no, not at all.
They were pretty quiet because it's not really, it's Wembley, and also it's not really like we don't have a history apart from the Fernandez 10th, 120th minute penalty, whatever, in the league. We don't really have anything. We don't have any animosity with Man United fans, so it was a bit, a few times.
Than my brother.
There's a few times when like a 12-year-old kid would sit up and do the wanker sign.
Literally.
But apart from the little like 12-year-old kids, there wasn't really much going on. But no, the atmosphere was great, and I thought the what the club obviously put on, like the the flags, those added little touches was really nice as well. It was a really good experience.
And Rob, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I was down in the right at the bottom. I was literally row two. I think I made a big mistake, and I always said if we get to the final, I definitely do it again. It was 1-2-8. I don't know if anyone was in that sort of section, but oh my god, I don't know about you guys, but there was people coming up and down, sitting everyone down again, and it was driving me mad. Like it really, really was driving me mad. So I had to sit down the whole game. It just wasn't fun. I don't like going to grounds and sitting down. I don't know, it's one of them, but I should have known better than to get them seats.
I like to sit down,
but I'm not for it. I should have gone behind the goal. Behind the goal. I wanted something different because I'd always gone behind the goal, and I thought the only two times I've been to Wembley I've been behind, and I thought let's go somewhere else, see a bit of a different perspective. But good view, bad mistake is what it is. Move on. Not going to be there for the final, but we'll be there next year. But the atmosphere was good, and to be fair, during the game it was a bit dead, but during the penalty shootout it was pretty good. And
penalty shootout was class.
We just got to take it. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of similar to me. What was really pissed me off was like all the United fans were stood up, even on the top tier next to me. And I was like, why are we getting told to sit down where all the United fans were stood up? I don't know if you could see in near you, Maz, where they stood up where you were, but for us, all I could see was standing up my United fans. And
everyone else
they were
all stood
up. Annoying. Ryan, sorry, we tried to fix the delay. Hopefully we have. If not, just switch off now. Let's get on to the game. I think we started off well, didn't we? Thing I can remember straight away is maybe Alexis's free kick. Matoma down the left looked good. The main concern straight away, which is something that I spoke about pre-match, I think was just my mates though, was Pascal Gross versus Rashford. I think there was one time when he got through and I thought, oh God, this could be a long day. and it was a shame because I was like, oh, they looked quite good. And obviously not as bad as they were, probably weren't ever going to be as bad as they were against Seville, but they looked better. Ryan, did you think that they were going to be a tougher position after those like first 10 minutes? Did you think this match isn't going to be as easy as some people probably thought it would be?
To be honest with you, mate, as soon as I saw that Maguire wasn't playing, I thought it was going to be a tougher game. I was kind of annoyed. I wanted Maguire to be playing. I said this to Maz as well before the game. We were saying we'd rather Maguire play, which is it's mad. But yeah, 100%. I know what you mean. Like 10 minutes in. Yeah, I just know we just felt like the better team. We looked pretty in command. I mean, the majority of the game, we looked pretty in command, to be honest with you. I know that they had a couple of chances, probably had the better chances on the face of actually nearly scoring, if you know what I mean. But I don't think we were bad at all. I think, we were the better team on the balance of the game, but we started well. I thought they were there for the taking. I thought if there was ever an opportunity for us to get to a final, it was yesterday, because to beat a team like United of that prestige, they certainly weren't playing like it. And if you were to switch the kits around, you probably would have said that was more accurate. And yeah, I don't think we made a fool of ourselves by any stretch, but it's just one of them, isn't it? Because when you don't take those chances, when you don't finish that off, and I even put, I think, a tweet on at half time saying, you know, we need to make it count. And the longer it goes on without making it count, it does tend to swing. And De Zerbi actually said it after the game, didn't he? He said penalty shootouts are usually won by those who don't deserve it. And it seemed as though that was true.
By the worst team, wasn't it? That was bold, and I rated it. You could tell he was obviously hurt, like everyone was. I can't remember the question, mate. My brain is absolutely frazzled. Oh yeah, it's more Maz. But what, did you share those concerns? about Man United?
No, do you know what? There was a few times where, I don't know, an Antony or a Rashford, yeah, did look a little bit. I thought their pace might be a problem, just because of, yeah, like we said, the lack of Gross's pace at right back. And obviously Esteban Pinyan, obviously pretty rapid, so I wasn't really worried too much.
Great.
On his side. But yeah, there was a few times I was a bit like, oh, okay, maybe. And I remember, I think Webster made a mistake, I believe, where Fernandes had the shot, and it was a good save from Sanchez in the first half. But yeah, aside from that, no, I'll be honest, I just felt like we looked pretty comfortable. We went into half time. I was going into half time. I was like, look, we're the better side. We should be winning this game, really, on the whole. But of course, yeah, Man United do have players that can hurt you. You know, as we saw, Fernandes had a few chances himself. They got some good players. It's not like they don't have any quality at all. But I thought on the whole, they didn't really threaten us too much. And it wasn't like too many moments where I had my hands in my mouth and thinking, oh God, we're going to concede here. So yeah, to answer your question, not really, but we were wasteful in front of goal, unfortunately. And we simply didn't take our chances, and it's simple as that. And I think we were actually under our, as we know how well we can play, and I think we were well below that. I think we were under par, and I think, as credit to us, we still outplayed them being under par, which I think that's something to take out of the game. Because you look at, I don't want to single players out, but I don't think they were at the level, as we know, like Matoma wasn't at the level as we know he can play. Who else to sort of pick it up? Solly March, on the whole, played pretty decent. Yeah. But again, I think he can hit another level. So, like, I'm not saying they played bad, but I don't think they played as well as they could have.
Yeah,
and I think that's what the frustration was. Whereas, on the flip side, Lewis Dunk, Caicedo and Sanchez, and maybe Webster as well, were exceptional. So I think if everyone played on their level, we would have wiped the floor with them 3-4-0. But unfortunately, it just didn't. The whole team didn't gel as we know they can on our best days.
And I think the only positive you can take is that hopefully the big teams watching probably thought, oh, maybe they aren't big game players and maybe we should look elsewhere with Alexis and Matoma and that sort of thing. I know probably Caicedo was probably the shining light in that midfield. Yeah. Maybe Alexis kind of went missing. I don't know. He obviously is still fairly good, but not as good as he has been or can be.
I heard a really wild thing today.
I think what really let us down was the final third, though.
Yeah, I was going to just butt in there because you said about Moises and Alexis. And I had someone, I love both of these guys, right? They're fantastic. Best probably double pivot in the league, right? By imaginable stretch. But someone said to me today that Caicedo is not as good as anyone makes out, and Alexis is far better. And if both of them were to leave, Caicedo would flop and McAllister would shine. And I just thought, oh my God, that's horrendous. That is such a bad opinion. And I just couldn't believe that someone could think that about Moises. Yeah. I was like, what?
I saw a few comments about Moises Caicedo. He said as well, like, he's not as good as people are making out. And I was like, he was by far the best player on the pitch.
Phenomenal.
for both teams. He was by far the best. He was just a general.
But he won player of the match for a reason.
Exactly. And he just bossed the midfield. And I thought he was exceptional. And to be fair to Mac, do you know what? I thought he'd done the basic things right. I don't think, again, he didn't play up to his usual maybe level. But I thought he was pretty good, to be honest. I can't really pick out anyone apart from one player.
No.
Which I don't want to dig this person out. But it was just one player that... Yeah, we will. We will.
I will. Sure.
Apart from Dennis Undav, everyone else played brilliantly. So,
you know what it was with Alexis? He was wearing those boots that some bloke from ESPN made him. And they... I respect some of the art and boots that he's made before, look good, but I even done a tweet on Ziggo Social being like, it's the thought that counts, but the boots are disgraceful, like they were horrible. Some guy who'd like made custom boots, like all he did was put like AM on the back and then made them like all gold with like some light blue and whites where the Adidas stripes are. those looks horrendous. And I was surprised Alexis wore them. I thought he'd probably just hang them up. But yeah, he actually wore them for the semi-final. I was like, weird. I don't know. I just find that weird. I thought I didn't think there'd be things that he'd play in.
The World Cup ones, you know?
Just wear your normal football boots, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, straight. It was strange. I'm not going to have a go at someone for wearing different football boots, but I just did think that was odd. But yeah, but maybe that was it. And I do think it was just the final third. And I guess people will expect us to talk about Dennis Undav. And it was a shame they had to get on the pitch. Obviously, whenever Ferguson got injured in the previous match, Danny Welbeck has to come in. Danny Welbeck gets injured. We're forced to make a substitution. And this is one of the main points I wanted to make today as well. Because last week we spoke about squad depth. And going into Europe, we'll have squad depth. We'll have, on the bench, we could have Moda back. We'll have a fit Sarmiento. We'll have Adingra potentially. We'll have Buonanotte with a bit more experience. Who else? We'll have Alzate, hopefully, if he still wants to play for us. Yesterday, there was no one we could really bring on that was going to be a game changer. And that was, you could tell, because De Zerbi, if he could have, and he wanted to, there were no like injuries or anything like that, he probably would have played that 11 for the whole game, maybe bringing on Veltman. I question why we... Maybe Veltman wasn't fit enough to start, but he played quite a lot of minutes in the end anyway. The question that I have for De Zerbi is, why not start Veltman at right back, bring on Aziso afterwards when Veltman actually came on, when we've got fresh legs? Because our players were so tired towards the end of that. And you could tell the difference between the two clubs and the two teams, because all the Man United players are used to those games. They're used to playing 120 minutes in semi-finals and whatnot. Whereas a lot of our players, that was probably their first semi-final. That was probably their first penalty shootout that they've had to do. And you could tell. And that was the really annoying thing. Like, we saw the Brighton players were constantly warming up and thinking, none of you are probably going to come on. And that was a shame. We were forced to bring in on Dennis Undav because Welbeck was injured. Welbeck probably would have played the whole game. And that was the disappointing thing. I think that's where we've fallen short, simply because obviously we aren't prepared for these bigger matches yet. And we're doing incredible. And we're outperforming probably where we should be by getting to these positions, because we've been so bloody good. But maybe the team and the squad depth isn't there to be able to beat these bigger teams and bigger clubs to then get to the final. I don't know what you boys think. I know that's a long-winded thing.
That's all right. I've got a lot to say about this as well, because I tweeted this out last night after the game. I said, you know, I was super proud of the boys. I thought really good performance. But yeah, I did question the squad depth, more so in the attacking end rather than sort of defensively midfield. I think attacking options. And it wasn't about someone, you know, goes, oh, are you talking, what, like, do we need more players? And I was like, no, it's not about the amount of players we've got. Three strikers for a system playing only one striker is fine. But it's the quality that, for me, is an issue. So, of course, look, without Ferguson, if Ferguson was there, I think we win that game. However, he wasn't there. So then you've got Welbeck and Undav, right? Now, respectfully, Dennis Undav is just not up to he's not up to Premier League standard, in my opinion. He's not up to the Premier League standard or what the level we need him to be at. And that's not to say he can't achieve that, but, you know, he was linked in January to go out on loan. I think he should have done that, and he should have come back with a bit more experience. And, you know, I just don't think he's ready at this level, which it was clear to see yesterday. And then you've got Danny Welbeck, who's great, a great option off the bench, and maybe to play 60 minutes or, for, you know, whatever, a half, whatever. But again, he's injured more than he is fit. So to have those two options as your only striking options available after Ferguson's injured, I just don't think that's good enough. So it's not about, oh, we need to bring in 6 strikers or 10 strikers. It's just about bringing in the right strikers and the right quality, and not ones that get injured or ones that aren't ready to play at this level yet. That's my thing, sort of look on it. And I actually, to be fair, Ben, I don't disagree with you, but I don't think it was a case of like the players not because we pretty much outplayed them, not by margin, but we were the better side all the way up to the penalties.
I'll disagree. I feel like we petered off towards the end of the game and then extra time it's more kind of Man United.
I disagree. I think, what was it? When was the Matoma? Oh, that was in full time. That was 90 minutes, wasn't it?
I think that was in extra time.
Ever since that Lindelof goal, yeah, I think it was completely gone.
but that Matoma chance, for example, huge chance. Obviously the Undav chance where he got played into him and he took that heavy touch, like that was all in extra time. And so I think we pretty much could have won that game. And yeah, it did come down to, unfortunately, just not taking our chances ultimately. But yeah, in terms of the squad depth, to sort of round off, and I know I appreciate we've both given long-winded answers here, but I just think we need quality rather than, oh, bring in 10 players, 15 players. It's not about the amount of players you have. I think it's just having the right players in the squad.
I'm not doing an unfair comparison and saying that we should be able to bring on five substitutes like Man United did, like bringing on Fred, you said bringing on that sort of thing. I had bigger players and maybe better players. I'm not saying that we should be in that position. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I feel like we're also forced to make two because of the in-depth thing. I think Welbeck probably, well, to be fair, he probably wouldn't have lasted a full 120 maybe. But yeah, it was tough to see them bringing on all these bigger substitutes with fresh legs against the same 12 players and then the same 13 players. It was... It was going to go one way. Next time was going to be tough.
Sorry, I will let you say your piece on the squad.
No, mate, I'm enjoying this. Quickly, I'm enjoying this as a listener. I feel like I'm a fan at the minute. I'm just watching this on YouTube.
love it. Just quickly on the Cissé thing, Ben, I completely agree with you. I know because of injuries and obviously, like, for example, players like Lallana out and Ferguson out and et cetera. Voltman, obviously, a doubt before the game. I think Enciso would have been perfect off the bench. I think that he is such an impact player. Yeah. To have him off the bench would have been fantastic. And I think, don't get me wrong, I thought he had a really good game when he played. Yeah. And he looked lively. He looked like probably one of our better attacking options.
He came off, didn't he? He stood in the centre circle, just like not walking off. I was like, oh, is he going to do a Kepa?
But imagine Kepa. He came off the bench, though. Like, imagine the impact he would have had. In that final 30 minutes of extra time, imagine the impact he would have had on the game. I think we could have maybe gone on to score a goal or two. So, yeah, I think I completely agree with that. If there wasn't a well, but I'm sure De Zerbi knows best. He probably didn't, you know, he couldn't rely on Veltman playing the full 90 maybe, or didn't expect us to go to extra time. So De Zerbi knows best. But, yeah, it was just, I would have loved to have seen Enciso come off the bench and really impact the game, but it wasn't to be.
We didn't have the capacity. Brian, a lot to digest. What did you make of those two arguments? I think we covered a couple of different points there on Undav and also the whole squad depth and not being able to bring on any more substitutes, maybe because of quality
I forgot for a minute that I could actually speak, and then you guys would know that I've responded, and I'm not just talking.
How the turntables?
Yeah,
it's great. I love it. What was I even going to say? I was just going to say something about Enciso. Yeah, I was going to say the thing is with Julio, it's weird because he deserved to start, right? Because obviously he had a great game against Chelsea. He's good against Bournemouth. He was also good against the team before Bournemouth, so I can't remember who he played now. And, like, you know, you have to he came on, didn't he, I think? And then he was a bit, like, he was all right and he didn't really have much of the ball. But, yeah, I think you owe him the start, don't you, right? So he starts in a big game. You'd hope that you could get, realistically, we were looking for a goal in that first half. And I think if we did, game would have been a lot different, particularly if it was Julio that scored. I think he had a shot as well. I don't know. Maybe it's an occasion thing. Like, yeah, it was a good save. Maybe it's an occasion thing. Maybe it's because we are a young team. It does make you appreciate the, the ages of McAllister, Caicedo, Julio, Mitoma as well. I mean, in terms of how long he's actually been in the game for, Solly in terms of how long he's been at the top of his game for, Sanchez is also young, he had a great game. You know, these players are, it's a new squad, right? And I think that you really notice that with this team we've got at the minute versus, like, the players that are left, for example, like Cucurella. Ben White's not, well, he's done well, to be fair, but Dan Burn's gone a bit later in his career, but Cucurella's a very good example of one. Yves Bissouma as well. You know, they're players that haven't played at that really good level. Bissouma was at this club, you know, particularly when we were sort of scratching relegation. You know, he had one good season here as in terms of how the squad was and then went. You know, these are players that haven't really seen that top level. Whereas, yeah, if anything, Ben, I reckon it's more of an opportunity or a chance, I know what you think, of promoting that the players should stay for another year or another 2 years, because it is, you know, these big games will come around a lot more frequently for them.
Yeah, no, I did think that actually when they walked off, and I saw someone said Alexis walked straight down the tunnel. I don't know if that was true.
He went all the way through. True, he came around like this for the first one, to be fair.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay, so must have been a weird
fake
tweet
news,
then.
But, Ben.
Yeah, fake news. Yeah, I did think that. I thought if we keep this team together, then we will be in these bigger games very, very soon again. Whether 100%. We do or not is obviously a tricky one. But yeah, it makes you. My mind did go, though, thinking, were Alexis and Caicedo looking at United celebrating and thinking, oh, we're the better team, but we still can't break that ceiling, even though we were the better team? And then, would that make them change their minds? But I'm only asking the question.
Yeah, no, I think with regards to sort of, you know, seeing a Manchester United, for example, and thinking we could have played Man City in the final, and imagine the occasion that would have been for a lot of the players to play, you know, one of the arguably best teams ever create, you know,
in front of 10,000 City fans and 35,000
and of course, you know, the players of course are going to be, you know, gutted and think, yeah, if I was maybe at a bigger club, quote unquote, or a better, you know, better team, again, quote unquote, then they might have got to the final. But I think if you look at just, again, I think touched on Ryan or Ben, I can't remember which one, it's one of you two anyway, touched on, like the how much we've grown, in like such a short amount of time to even sit here, right, to discuss how disappointed we are at dominating a semi-final against Man United. Do you know how crazy that is? If you told a younger us, like, you know, obviously Ryan at the beginnings of the Amex era, us at the Wydd Dean, like, imagine you told us as our younger selves, like, oh yeah, you boys would be dominating Man United in a semi-final of an FA Cup looking to secure qualification for Europe. You'd be thinking, you're absolutely mental. Like,
yeah,
what are you talking
wasting
about?
My time. Me and my brother literally said that on the morning. We were like, if you told us 11 years ago when we were at the Wydd Dean, you say there would be a Sporting derby in the semi-final of the FA Cup, and Brighton would still be pushing for Europe as well. Like, I was like, what a waste of time. What a waste of breath that was. There's no chance that ever happens.
Exactly. So, like, it is insane. So, hopefully, like, I know we're fans and we're so invested in the club, but hopefully the players also think about that. And, like, especially like a Lewis Dunk, right, who's been there literally from Wydd Dean.
Who was mustard yesterday.
Who's great. Like, colossal. But, like, imagine him going to the boys looking, look how mad it is, the journey we've been on. Like, let's go for another year, or give us one more season where,
even if
you know,
you broke it down to
potentially
like
achieve
3 years. What was it when Potter came 4 years ago? If you break it down to then,
four years ago,
we were a team that was relegation threatened every year. I mean, it was only Potter's last year where we weren't fighting relegation, and that was last season. You know what I mean? So we were still associated with as a relegation team until last season. When you put it like that, it makes you, like, even as a Premier League fan, if you're too young to remember the Championship days fully, it makes you then appreciate how much you've changed in the Prem in 7 years, 6 years. Mm. That to me is now just hitting me, and I'm like, whoa, yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'm harsh and I want the best and I still think we should. But equally, it's mad.
Yeah. Because that's the thing, like, I was having a conversation, you know, when you're on your own on the train and you see, like, a fellow Brighton fan or whatever, it was one of them situations on the way back home, and I was chatting to this guy, and I was like, it's crazy, isn't it? So I had the same sort of, like, an anecdote, but then I was like, it's mad that we have that sort of entitlement of, now when we talk about, like, the Bournemouths or the Southamptons, we're like, oh, we should be winning that game, you know, we're so much better than them, and it's like, how mad is that to think? the South Coast is ours, and it's crazy to even think that we're even having these conversations. So I just, hopefully, I think the message I'm trying to get across is that hopefully the players also think this, and hopefully that can that message can transpire to the McAllisters, Caicedos, you know, the other players that are linked away from the club, even Ferguson. I know he's been linked with a few big clubs now. Hopefully those players will look at it and go, do you know what, let's give them one more season. And well, it depends, I think, what happens from now till the end of the season, these 8 games to go. I think if we get Europe, I think there is a real possibility they'll stay. But if we don't get Europe in any capacity, I think it's going to be really, really tough to keep those players. Yeah. But
mate,
hopefully,
if Fabrizio carries on how he has been going,
our
whole squad's going to go. Ryan, because you're quote tweeting him every hour. Please tell the listeners, if they've missed it, what's been going on this week, because he's been posting all these different quotes from McAllister's dad, McAllister's dog walker, Caicedo's nan, everyone somehow.
It'd probably be quicker for me to talk about what he hasn't done rather than what he has. Because, like, he just... one journalist, let alone someone with, like, 15 million followers, be so associated with us.
The journalist.
I mean, it's mad. Yeah, I've never seen someone tweet about us so much in my life. I mean, and that's including myself.
Such an agenda.
It is wild, but, yeah, I don't know. It is weird, but... It is what it is, right? Because I know that he's obviously engineering something or whatever he's doing. I don't even know. I can't slander the guy because I don't know him. But I mean, what he is doing, it is annoying for us as fans, because we're reading it thinking, for God's sake, like, just give it a break for just 2 minutes. I mean, like, if the players go, it's on them, because they're the one that have gone. And I know we have our innocent minds talking about as fans, and we've been, you know, we've been through it all together, and it's been a big building process. And then you take your innocent mind off and you go back to being the person that understands football and says, oh yeah, but then they've got more money than us, therefore they'll go there. And it's like, I don't know, where does loyalty end? I don't know. And McAllister's quotes have obviously been misquoted, yeah, because I don't believe them, but we'll see.
Well, someone said that one of the articles that Fabrizio Romano quoted was from 2019, when he was talking about, you know, Real Madrid being one of his
Caicedo,
favorite teams.
Caicedo,
Real Madrid. And so, yeah, just one thing on Romano, because he has actually annoyed me this week. Because, first of all, the timing of it, I think, is awful. Yeah. Like, he fully knows what he's doing. In the 3 or 4 days before a cup semi-final.
Was it the Friday, wasn't it, I think, when the Caicedo one, he posted the Caicedo one?
Yeah, well, literally the day before.
He literally tweeted every day in the...
Yeah.
The Real Madrid one.
Yeah, it was the day before. And, like, I just feel like the timing, like, you can easily wait until after this game. Like, you know, whatever story, if you're going to pick an article from 2019, you can definitely wait until after the game. I mean, it's clearly, I feel like, do you know what it is? Since Brighton admin mugged him off, so I'm blaming you, Brighton admin.
Ever since he mugged him off, he's definitely
had it in for us. Like, yeah, shout out to you. 100%. Yeah. Ever since you tweeted that and mugged him off about the Cucurella transfer, he's literally been out to get us. Like, he's actually not even—he's not even hiding it anymore. It was a great tweet. I loved it. But Romano's been out for us, and he's trying to purposefully try and get McAllister and Caicedo, like, circulating rumours and interest around him. Like, there's no two ways about it. I feel like it's not even he's hiding it anymore. But, you know, if the guy's got to do what he's got to do, if that's what his sort of game is, and if he gets a commission from agents, I don't know. But if that is the case, then it does seem like he does target us at the moment. And it feels, the timing of it for me was horrendous. Like, do your journalism.
I feel like there's way more to this whole, this is all a conspiracy. Look, I'm not blaming Fabrizio. I'm not blaming anyone at Chelsea.
No, of course. Like,
because
you said,
I don't want to lose one battle before the end of this year, to be honest, against people way more powerful than I. But
really,
what I will say is, but on a conspiracy theory with my little tinfoil hat on, it does feel a little bit, since all this Chelsea stuff, you know, obviously Brighton are getting better and we're getting a bigger club and we're getting bigger players. But I don't know, it just feels like, yeah, Chelsea particularly, something there, something's rattled somewhere. You know, someone's pushing some sort of agenda, because it does feel like whenever there's half-decent player that we want, they want them. And as soon as one of our players plays well, all of a sudden Chelsea are interested in him, and they're not signing a new contract, but they are signing. You know what I mean? It gets a little bit boring at the end of it. You know, the Colwell stuff is even more of a joke, and you read the Alexis and the Caicedo, and, you know, it's not going to be long before they're looking at, like, I don't know, Danny Welbeck coming back to Man United again. And it's just like, you know, when does it end, Robbie? I don't know. It's a bit weird. It is what it is.
Just to echo Maz, yeah, admin, if you're watching, you've absolutely rustled Fabrizio now. You've started an agenda.
Yeah.
I can just imagine that. I think it was, I don't know if it wasn't deadline day, was it? But I can imagine admin composing that tweet, typing away in the media room with some of the other boys. And then Paul Cameron's behind him. It's like that Star Wars meme, who's going, do it.
Yeah.
That person. Do
just
it.
The laughing.
Or like maybe Paul Barber.
Well, publish a tweet
Bling.
And they're like,
yeah.
Watch this.
But if you are listening, like we say every week, everyone stay, please stay, and we'll have another day at Wembley hopefully next year, and then get to the final. Who knows?
We'll be back, mate. We're too good for it to not come back, regardless of who's here next year. We'll be back.
Are you a fan of the Seagull Social podcast? Have you thought, I want to be a guest in the podcast? And are you wondering what the logo of mine and Ryan's hat is? Well, we're here to answer all three of those questions.
We partnered up with a brand new app called Next Gen Play. They're a Brighton-based company that are launching very, very soon. And we're here to tell you all about them and how you can win a chance of being on an episode of Seagull Social. Woo!
Thanks, Maz. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about Next Gen Play. On the app, you can play games that win you gems. Gems then can be used to buy gift cards for Amazon and even Uber, which will come in handy for the next train strike on match day. You can even win real money by playing games on the Next Gen app, and it's easy to withdraw too. So when you're worried about where you're going to get your next £5 from for a steak and ale pie in the concourse, just play some bingo, and bingo, you've got your steak and ale pie.
And here is how you can enter to win a chance of being on the podcast. Step 1, sign up to the waiting list on Next Gen Play website. The link will be in our Instagram bio. Step two, follow Next Gen Play on Instagram and don't forget to tag a friend in the comments section for step three. To better your chance, you can also share this video to your story for one extra entry and follow Next Gen Play on all their social media platforms for two extra entries. The links are on their website.
The winner of the competition will be announced in 2 weeks. Now back on with the episode. I want to talk about our cup keeper, our second choice keeper, Sanchez. I thought he had done pretty well. And even De Gea made a few decent saves, to be fair. Which is funny because obviously we've done that combined 11 and we done that. We filmed that combined 11. If people were confused of why we kind of bigged up De Gea, that was before the whole Seville howlers that he produced. But they both made a couple of decent saves. Sanchez in particular, I think he made more decent saves or had to make more decent saves.
Well, that one save, the one that stood out for me.
Yeah,
right in the corner.
Because it took a deflection of Webster's like in the thigh, and you think this is classic. Like a deflection is going to send him the wrong way. Yeah. But it didn't. Luckily, Sanchez made a great save. Donkey ran straight over and was like hyping him up, and I was so happy for Sanchez.
I stood up illegally
before filming.
Moment.
Like I saw a few things about Sanchez. Oh, fucking hell! Fair play to you, mate. The ball's wicked.
Quick, sit down.
But I saw a couple of people saying that should Sanchez have maybe been substituted before the penalty shootout? Maz, would you have maybe brought Steele on for the pens?
No. I know Steele's got an incredible record at saving penalties, and I know he's very good at them. But I feel like, you know, like when you, especially with Sanchez having such a great game, you'd think like the confidence is high, he's hyped. And there was one penalty, I can't remember who against now, but he pretty much nearly got a hand to
was
it.
Was it Sabitzer's maybe?
Maybe, yeah. And like, it looked like he saved it, and everyone went mad. Some people argue, yeah, Steele would have saved that. You know, that's a bit so on. But you just don't know. It's like the Kanye West meme. I guess we'll never know. So, I guess we'll never know. So, yeah, I don't think it would have been. I think it would have been massibly harsh. Imagine that, Sanchez, after playing 120
it's
minutes.
It's not uncommon practice now, though, in modern football.
No, it's not. Like we saw Tim Krul do it in the World Cup, and you know. Yeah. It's happened, yeah, throughout the last 30 years. But I think it would have been incredibly harsh after 120 minutes of football where he played exceptionally well to then sub him off and basically saying, we don't trust you to save a penalty. Get in there, son, and do your stuff.
Like they'll see Steele in or they'll see Sanchez in. They'll take different penalties based on who's in goal because, you know, each goalkeeper's different, each player's different and... You know what I mean? So there's no conclusive way of saying Steele would have saved this, whereas the Sanchez would have saved that because it's a different moment. There's been a different penalty. You know, so I personally think Steele probably could have come on, to be fair, because I actually said it at the time because I was like, Steele's got a cracking record to see on the bench. Him at Charlton, I think he saw it say like four, didn't he, or three? And he did the same at, was it?
Newport before as well when he won us a shootout.
Yeah, so he's very used to saving penalties, but then there is a difference between playing Charlton away and Newport away and then playing United in the semi-final at Wembley, so I suppose in that sense, but you know.
Well, those big occasions, I feel like if anyone would make a bold decision like that, it would be De Zerbi. We've seen some of the decisions he's made with the goalkeepers, but Ryan, I know you just put yourself on mute, but I wanted to ask you as well, if you were the manager, would you have brought on Steele for the penalties if you were playing Football Manager right now?
Yeah, I think I would have done, but it's easy in hindsight, right? I mean, I liked Sanchez yesterday. I thought he was great. I thought he really had a great game. So it's not a dig at him, but purely for penalties, I probably would have done. I said at the time, and I think his record on penalties is telling. And I think, you know, if you've got someone who can do something, use them to their strengths. And I think that's probably what you should have done with Steele. But look, it's easy to say, isn't it? Because I'm sure De Zerbi had reasoning.
Yeah. I've got a quick question to both of you. For the next 8 games, who are you starting in goal? Obviously, Sanchez had a big game. Would you start him now, or would you bring Steele back in? And Ryan, go first.
All right, you can't drop him, can you? But I know that De Zerbi prefers Steele because he says it so many times. He says he prefers him the way he plays, you know, the way he passes, and you know he probably is right in terms of the short passing. So I think. Possibly, I can see it happening, but they're both very cool heads. And to be honest with you, now I don't really feel worried with either of them. You know, I don't think it's good to have a rotation of goalkeepers, but then I don't think at the moment for us anyway, it's a bad thing either because they're both very big sort of characters in the camp. Like you know, Steele's obviously got a big sort of cult following, hasn't he, amongst the squad? Whereas Sanchez has obviously been our number one. So like I feel like the players trust both of them. The fans trust both of them. you know, probably some prefer one or the other, whatever. But, you know what I mean? It's okay either way. Yeah. It's like a 50-50. So I'm okay either way. Not to sit on the fence, but I trust the Zerbi, I think, is
but,
the point.
Okay, but... okay. All right,
still Los Angeles.
Yes, still.
All right, okay, if you're going to push me, I'd say Steele.
Give us an answer.
I'd say Steele, but then
right, Steele.
I wouldn't drop Sanchez. That's the thing. You know what I mean? Like, I prefer Steele.
Back
the moment,
on the fence.
But I, oh, it's hard, mate, because I wouldn't sorry. I wouldn't drop him, but I don't...
So you're saying Sanchez?
I'll say Sanchez.
Yeah, he doesn't
can't
deserve
drop
to be
him,
dropped
simple.
Now, does he?
Yeah, but, he can't be dropped because yeah. He's done nothing wrong, so you can't drop him. Sorted.
But... that's the problem with a second choice keeper, because if you do have your good game and the league comes along again, then you are going to get dropped because that's just how it is. Obviously, we were so used to him being number one, but he's not anymore, I don't think. And yeah, to answer your question, Maz, I don't think he'll play in the league. I don't think he'll play tomorrow against Forest, for example. I think Steele will probably come back in if he's fit, because obviously I know he was injured-ish, but maybe he's not injured now. What about you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, I thought yesterday, you know, with Sanchez a few times this season, well, before he got dropped, especially Palace being a very notable one, there was times where you thought, I don't feel confident, you know, as a fan, and let alone what the players thought, as a fan, when he used to come for crosses, you know, sometimes commanding his area, he didn't really fill me with much confidence, whereas we've still actually felt pretty confident. We're like, he's quite assertive, but it's weird because you feel like Sanchez should be the more assertive and the more dominant because he's just, you know, bigger and he's a bit more angry looking. He's a bit, you know, you would expect him to be more that way. But, and I thought yesterday he was brilliant, literally coming for crosses, the big saves he made. I thought he was brilliant yesterday, and it really, there wasn't one moment where I thought, oh wow, that was dodgy, or, you know, usually where you watch a game with Sanchez involved, usually you'd have a moment where he'd try and slide out of his box or try and, you know, drop a cross or something like that. So I think, yeah, he was brilliant yesterday, and I think it would be so harsh for him to be like, right, you're on the bench for Nottingham Forest. But then I do agree with what you guys are saying. I think Steele fits our system much better. He's much better passer of the ball, and his distribution's much better. So, it's a real tough one. But if I had to choose a number one, it would be Steele right now. But then Bobby Sanchez, I think with time, can regain his number one spot.
Yeah, that's fair.
There you go.
I think that's how it works. And then one last question on the keeper situation. And I don't know if this is too harsh, but my friend mentioned it. Maybe it was just because he was annoyed. But I think he said something like, you know, a goalkeeper being Sanchez, faced 6 or 7 penalties, didn't he, yesterday? Should you expect a keeper to at least save one of them?
But you can say that about De Gea, though.
No, of course, and De Gea as well, yeah.
They say that the goalkeepers harsh, have a 20%? No, a 5% chance, unless... or a 10% chance of saving a penalty.
Yeah,
I think it's quite
low
like that. So if you're going law of averages, he should save 1 in 9. So, no.
Fair enough. And then
yeah,
I guess
your mate's chatting waffle, mate.
Yeah, no, I think it's obviously just. Well, I did think I was like maybe, you know, but it's their job.
I sort of get where he's coming from. I get where he's coming from, but it's extremely harsh to sort of expect him to save at least one. I think.
And then obviously so we did have to, I don't know if there's any more in the actual match apart from penalties, which we'll move on to. Is there any other noticeable things that we want to mention? Or maybe Matoma's chance. I guess Matoma's big chance. Yeah, that is. When that did happen, I do think it was extra time. So, yeah, please correct me if I'm wrong. I just felt like...
As well.
Oh, and Undavs, ball drilled into him. Horrendous touch. Matoma's just like, you think on another day, like...
Matoma scores literally nine times out of ten. That's what winds me up. You know what I mean?
My friend says to me, he was like, that was it. He said that was the moment.
Yeah, that was the moment, 100%. That one and the Undav, when he got slotted in and the ball ballooned off his fucking face. Anyway. One thing I actually wanted to mention, actually, and I thought what was really frustrating about yesterday, and I noticed Solly March and Matoma both did it a lot yesterday, was the indecisiveness of just pulling the trigger. I felt like they took that touch too many.
Overthinking.
And that's what ultimately let us down. I don't know if it was the occasion or whatever it might have been, but there were so many times where I thought, just make the pass, take the shot. They just took that extra touch and they got dispossessed. Yeah. Do you know what? I'll give credit to a Man United player. I thought Wan-Bissaka was actually really good. And I wouldn't say he locked down Matoma, because there was a few times where Matoma did get away from him. But He did, yeah. He did. He was defensively very solid, Wan-Bissaka, and I have to give him credit for that. And I thought, and to be fair, like Shaw and Lindelof actually, barring a few moments, they were okay. Like, you know, they weren't awful. But yeah, I thought, you know, they Wan-Bissaka especially did do really well against Matoma. And I thought he handled him really well.
Was that what Zaha said to him? Zaha said when Palace played United, which was just sums up Wan-Bissaka and his defensive ability. He was like, he was 1-on-1 with De Gea. And he could hear someone running behind him. And as soon as he saw it was Wan-Bissaka, he was like, well, there's no chance. Like, I'm going to get a shot away now.
Yeah, his recovery tackles are a joke.
Incredible. Yeah, he's so good at defensive. I think we actually done a graphic about it when we were going to play them a few months ago. And then maybe it got postponed or something. We done like this battle. We can't wait to see this battle. It's like Dr. Dribbler versus like the best one of the best defensive fullbacks in the league.
Yeah.
And we saw it. And yeah, maybe Matoma had an off day or maybe Wan-Bissaka did knock him up. Maybe it's a mixture of the boat. Maybe it's a mixture of
both. It's just that final action for me. Mm. Yeah. It's just the final action for me. It's just, that last touch, that last pass. And I just felt like that's what really let us down yesterday. It was the nervousness of that. And then, Matoma was a prime example. When he was through on goal, just take that first touch, take a shot there. Just shoot. And he tried to get an extra touch and obviously went away from him.
As well. That's the opinion. That's hard, you know.
Yeah.
Just got a little foot in, a little chip or anything, just something to trouble De Gea, and then you have something to worry about. Yeah. But it just didn't happen.
The left side of De Gea was open. That corner.
And also as well, just sorry, I don't want to keep digging in, Dava, but there was another point where I think we had 3-on-2. It was three of us. To be fair to him, he dispossessed the midfielder. And I was like, fucking hell, fair play. He's like, go on, son.
Yeah, I think I said it's the best thing he's done.
Yeah, yeah. He dispossessed one of the Man United midfielders.
It's such a big game. Yeah.
No. I do feel bad. And look, this is not an attack to say he won't become a good player. Yeah, I think he can be a good player because there was glimpses. But yesterday he was poor. And there was a point where he dispossessed the Man United midfielder and we had 3-on-2. All he had to do was just slot it out left with a simple pass.
Yes,
and he just
passed it
to a Man United defender. And I was just like, these are the moments where... those final decisions we were making was just so frustrating. But we were under par, and it was just one of those days, wasn't it?
And anything else? I definitely think we're a bit into the pens.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I think we're just quite stretched, aren't we? At the moment, we now got what three games this week. Got United yesterday, Forest on Wednesday, Wolves on Saturday. We aren't a big squad. Mm. We've got it's gonna be a strain. You can tell it's a strain. The players are starting to drop a little bit. I just hope for confidence sake that it isn't something that's going to be a permanent temporary feeling, you know, something that's going to stay in us for now and last until the end of this season, because it can be. Everyone knows it can be. Sometimes getting to a semi-final and losing is the worst thing you can do in your season because it can really hurt you. But I really hope, and I think if there's anyone out there that can stop us from really getting sore from this, it is De Zerbi. He seems like the sort of guy, you saw him yesterday, went straight over to March, had his arm around him, proper consoling him, shout out Dunk as well, top captain, getting Solly in his arms and really giving him a good pat. And I think, that's what the players need these couple of days, just a good arm around the shoulder. And I think if there's anyone out there that's going to do it, it's De Zerbi, because sometimes, you need to just be a little bit of an arm around and then, you don't want to just be completely critical. Back in training tomorrow, boy, is not good enough. And then I don't think that's going to happen anyway. But you don't want it to hurt you for the next couple of weeks. But let's hope it doesn't. And I think it won't. But we'll see.
Also, just to wrap it up and go into penalties. If Lewis Dunk can't get an England call up after yesterday's performance, he is like I know. It's
Gareth Southgate was there. He was there.
I know it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen because he's just not going to do it.
He watched a physical match of Lewis Dunk. The first time since USA.
Yeah, and he dropped to literally a faultless. I don't think it was one moment where I thought, "Oh, that's a bit dodgy."
No,
he genuinely put in a 10 out of 10 performance.
Yeah,
and he was colossal. And if you don't, if you're not going to pick him, what's the point? Like, what is the actual point? Because even Carragher came out after the game and said, "Lewis Dunk and who's the other one?
John Stones.
John Stones are the best English centre backs right now." So, look. Yeah. I know Carragher isn't exactly
if Dunn gets called up, Maldini, I could actually watch
he knows his football.
literally. Yeah. Please, just do it. Yeah, well, I don't get why you can't. It doesn't make any sense. Connor Cody will get called up instead. I'm not getting myself back into 2021. It's pointless. It's a waste of everyone's time, including my own.
Let's go.
I feel like something happened. I did hear that maybe he didn't impress during training, apparently. But
2018.
And then, obviously, if that is the case, then...
2018?
Yeah, but also what I'm going to say is like, if okay, let's say he had a bad training sessions with England, and obviously then he got his cap, which was brilliant. He's had countless games where he's been incredible since to earn another chance in training. Yeah, it's not like exactly. This one write off. Do you know what I mean?
Which and also, necessarily, just because you bring him to the squad doesn't mean you're going to play him. Like, he's like, bring him into the squad and see what he's like around the squad.
If you could tell what you were doing in 2018, anyway. I'll take my hat off to you. I don't know. I was 17. How old was Dunk? I don't know. What was he now? 29? He was 24? Was he 30, maybe 25? So,
he's 31 now.
Oh, is he 31? God, he's getting on a bit, isn't he? I'm joking. But yeah, I don't know. 25, 26.
Yeah, he'd be like 26.
He's changed. He's matured. He's a better player now. He's been the better player for about the last 3 years. I don't know how it's so hard to see. It's, you know, you can't define. And I remember he said on Talk Sport recently, didn't he, on that recent interview with Alex Crook.
Yeah,
shout out Alex.
I was going to say.
It was a good interview, actually. And he said that he hasn't been in touch with him since he got called up to the USA team. How long ago was that? You know what I mean?
That's what I was going to say. The way he was smirking about it, though, wasn't he? Like, Lewis Dunk was, like, laughing about it. I feel like there's something, maybe something happened, or maybe I'm reading too much into it, but maybe Dunk's just got to that point where he just laughs about it. Fuck's sake. That's something I was saying. But, yeah, probably.
I don't know. It's a plausible explanation at this point.
It is. It seems that way. It does seem that way. But, yeah, Dunkey was laughing about it. I just... Yeah, something tells me there's more to the story than that of him just not being called up again, because... How can you watch football and
Ivan not Tony gets called up and he's a gambling addict? Like, how is that even possible? You know what I mean? So I don't even know.
Oh my god!
Breaks the rules.
And he can take penalties, which is something.
Ivan Tony is the biggest. It's the biggest joke. It's the biggest joke. He's under so much investigation. Thomas Partey as well. We didn't even get into that one, but Ivan Tony gets called up for England squad. Right, gets called up for the England squad. With all of the stuff going around at the moment on his head, how much has he got on his head at the moment? It's a joke. It's mad, right? Don't get me wrong, he's a great player. And I don't know what the odds are on that, Ivan, but come on now. For you to get called up over Lewis Dunk, it is mad. It is a bit mad. But yeah, anyway, I'll leave it there.
So I've got a lawsuit,
and now an England lawsuit coming in. Not to mention the other one as well. Great. I'm done for, boys.
English penalty takers, Webster, great. Dunk scored. Solly March unfortunately did not. It was literally a spitting image of the Charlton one.
Yeah,
Charlton. It looked literally like a conversion, Johnny Wilkinson conversion. Same thing.
One thing I
want to
say.
Sorry, he just looked terrified when he was walking up to
it. He did, didn't he?
I know because I saw the highlights afterwards. He looked shell of himself. What made me question why he maybe put himself forward to be seventh, like even tenth. Or even Sanchez ahead of him, I saw people say. It's like, put Solly March last on pens. It's what we've seen in the past. He does not deserve to be. And maybe he still has confidence to what De Zerbi's instilled in him to be able to be like, yeah, you know what, I'll take the seventh pen. I'll put Charlton behind me. Fair play to be able to step up, because also it takes balls to do that.
But Ben, you also got to remember, seventh penalty, it's not like he was part of the original five. Like,
no,
you can't help it. Usually it's done by the fifth or
to
the
be
sixth.
Honest, yeah,
he wasn't expecting to take a penalty. Like, You can't like put that. Yeah, I just didn't really understand that whole logic yesterday. Everyone was like, "Oh, whoa, was he seventh?" It's like, mate, you're usually
there's not many
five.
Left.
It's like, yeah, exactly. You haven't got much choice. But Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you?
You shouldn't
man?
Be looking at Solly. You should be looking at Matoma. You know, there's players out there that should be taking them. You know, these are big players. Matoma, he's one of our highest goal scorers this season. Exactly. We know Solly can't take pens. He should be stepping up. Or you've got Caicedo.
Yeah. You know, I saw someone tweet saying Matoma and Veltman had taken penalties recently.
And one thing I noticed as well. One thing I noticed as well was the mind game. So obviously Wakehorse said something to him in the build up,
and kissed the ball.
Kissed the ball, and then De Gea said something as well. And prior to that. What I found really strange was, apart from I think Sanchez on one penalty, he shook the bar. There was no mind games or any kind of like thing to put people off. Like I know some people don't like it, and some people say it's like it's not sportsmanlike, but that's the whole point. It's like you're trying to put them off their game.
Emi Martinez would literally spit on their face, punch them in the mouth, like do anything to distract them.
I feel like both, because you saw there's a video as well of Casemiro, obviously going like, you know, Casemiro was doing all that.
Video,
that was because he was basically,
he was trying
to say to De Gea, make yourself like a nuisance, do something weird, like make yourself weird. Like, because Casemiro wasn't just, you know, he wasn't just moving around weirdly for no reason. Yeah. Like, he was trying to say to De Gea, try and put them off by moving. So I did find that really strange that neither Bobby Sanchez or De Gea did anything.
Too nice. Yeah, some of our players.
It was a weird... It was a weird one. It was a weird one.
So Wout Weghorst apparently had a quote after the game. He was saying he went up to all the United players and was like saying, let's really get into them. Let's get them, play mind games, all that sort of stuff. And apparently not many of them did, but he obviously took it upon himself to kiss the football and say something to Solly. Yeah, and it worked. The donkey distracted us. You know, Messi was like, got me out of war.
And then he's on the 90-yard dash.
I wish he had that attitude.
Yeah. The 90-yard dash to do the knee slide as well. Bloody Wout Weghorst, mate. Wout Weghorst literally done a 90-yard dash.
Oh, mate, that Weghorst video. That made me sick.
Yeah, he done an Adebayor on us. I can't believe
that. That was horrible to watch. Like, ugh.
Did he do it to the player in two weeks?
No.
No, he went to United. But it was still like, it was still unbearable to watch. He did it on his own. What a weirdo. But no, what is good is we get to play him in like 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks? Or maybe three. So we don't have May long 4th. Till we play them again. May the 4th, is it? Oh, it's exactly the same. Oh, it's only a week away then.
May the 4th be with you.
Or two weeks away. But yeah, mate, if we owe them now. Not like as much as Tottenham, but we owe them, you know. We should get them.
Before we go on to Forest, just quickly, I think, again, I don't like to give credit a lot to Man United, but credit to both teams. I thought both of the teams, apart from the Solly March penalty, I thought there were some excellent penalties in there. Obviously my angle wasn't the best, but with regards to all the penalties, I thought they were fantastic, and I haven't had a chance to see them all, but I think both teams like put them away, and of course
centre backs burying penalties for fun,
even
Lindelof's winner was a brilliant penalty.
It's
just a shame. I obviously don't want it to be anyone, but for it to be Solly March, it's just have all the players, and we've kind of been a bit against Dennis Undav, but Dennis Undav scored one. When he walked up, I was like, here we go.
Oh my God, wait. If he had missed, I do not even want to know. Because basically around us,
this is a really good point.
A lot of people going in on him. A lot of people are going in on him. So imagine if he had missed.
Okay.
I think it would have been bad for him, man.
So let's put this as the agenda. Because look, I does annoy me. The one thing that does annoy me about our fans is how they get onto certain players. And don't get wrong, I get it. Some are worse than others and some are better than others, but they're still human. Like, you know, everyone's going to love Solly. And everyone's going to love Solly. Even if he was the worst player this season, he's the local boy, everyone will love him. Undav, if he missed that, if it was the other way around, if Solly had buried, if Undav had missed and blazed over that far, I would hate to see social at the minute. I'd hate to see his comment section, mate, because it would be horrible. Like, he would be welcome to the Amex.
He would have to deactivate.
It's mad. Yeah, it's that serious.
He would
serious.
Have to deactivate all his socials.
It drives me mad. Like, you know, if it was Danny, if it was Dennis, if it was either of them two, they're getting onto him. If it was Mope last season... Mm. You know, it's a different story, but all of a sudden it's Solly and it's, you know, it's different, you know. So I think that we should hold the same.
I've seen a few horrible tweets about Solly though as well. Like, it's just, even if it is the golden boy.
It's the nature. Look, I don't condone it, of course. Like, I think anyone to get that upset about a football match, I think is quite sad. But, like, of course, look, you can... I said that didn't come out right, but as in, like, there's levels, right? Like, you can get upset, you can have a really be upset about the result.
To go,
but then
like,
there's abuse, like, there's a level above. There's a level above going to abuse players and like be
messaging them. You know,
being like,
oh, and it, my God, you know, kind of my DMs, me and Harvey. Yeah. Oh my gosh, me and Harvey were talking about it. It's like DMs at the minute are crazy.
Yeah, like there's no need to take it to that next level. And look, like. Look, I'm going to be perfectly honest. As a fan, I was frustrated at Undav, and you know, of course, I berated him a few times, and you know, I might have said stuff that I probably aren't proud of. But I was in the heat of the moment. But like now, I've come away from it. I'm like, look, he didn't have a good game. He was pants. But that's not to say I'm going to go and DM him, or I'm going to go and, you know, go egg his house, or like, do you know what I mean, like, take it.
I don't get the messaging thing. I never ever in my life have thought I'm going to go DM someone, like a fan or a player.
Yeah,
and I'm just gonna send him as much abuse as I can think of, or I'm gonna send him like a load of bad emojis. Like, I don't get how people can just do that. Like, what goes through your head to do it? It's weird.
Well, it's because they don't have. They feel like they can't be held accountable because they're online. Like, they don't feel like. But trust me, I promise you right now, you would absolutely shit your pants if you saw Undav in front of you. There's no way in hell you would write any of the stuff you put on social media. If he was right in front of your face, you would literally wouldn't say any. Well, no, any of the players. Literally, I promise you now. These big like trolls online. I promise you now. You put them in a room with any player that they've, you know, taken the piss out of or whatever. whatever, I promise you now, they would absolutely shit their pants and they wouldn't do say a thing to them. So, no. Yeah, they get a brave online and then they don't have the balls to say it to them, to their faces. So.
Mm. Weird world we live in. But he was on Buzz's Boot Room as well this week, and I started to warm to him, and I thought his personality is quite funny. See, he made me laugh a bit, and obviously, yeah, I've sat here and I've given him stick, and I'll stand by it because his performance wasn't good enough, I don't think, for that level of match. But yeah, it is a shame to see that happen to him. But I guess the only silver lining is the fact he didn't miss it.
Otherwise, we've said this before, Ben. Sorry to interrupt you. I know we've said this before, but we're allowed, as fans, we're allowed to criticise players. And I think that's completely fair. We're allowed to, you know, give our views on if a player's played badly. And that's just our opinion at the end of the day.
Yeah,
and again, I think we've done it in a respectful manner. Like, you know, we've sat here and we've done it respectfully, in my opinion. I don't think we've said anything sort of extremely harsh. But then that's where people get very, you know, there's different ways of being able to communicate these things. Like you can easily say a player's been bad without, you know, going out and giving them death threats and calling them, you know, being racially motivated, for example. There's lots of ways you can go about, you know, giving your opinion and your distaste to a player or whatever. You can call a player crap, that's fine, but just do it in a nice manner.
You can say someone's had a rubbish performance, you can say you're a clown for missing a penalty. But you can't go. You can't go and send them stuff like you can't. You don't. People don't do that. Normal people, normal thinking people up here don't do that. Like you've got to be pretty weird. You know, you're not right up here to do that because you just don't. It's not something that should come into your head to go do.
Let's people down.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a minority, but it's annoying to see.
Anyway, I guess that's kind of it for the semi-final until next year. We'll be back. Yeah, Forest. I guess it's kind of echoing what you just said about 10 minutes ago, Ryan. It's like, how do the players bounce back? I have full faith that De Zerbi will be able to get some confidence back in them. And yeah, I think you mentioned about how seasons can derail after like a big moment like that happens. But I think that kind of happens to teams when they don't have anything else to fight for. You know, let's say the FA Cup was just the thing we were fighting for. The season could derail after that. But because we are so close to achieving something quite incredible of reaching Europe. Yeah. I feel like the players are good enough and have a good enough mentality in the dressing room is so on point that we probably will have the mentality to be able to bounce back and hopefully dispatch Nottingham Forest on Wednesday night.
And I think we've touched on it already, but I think De Zerbi won't let the players do that. I don't think he'll let them just down tools or get demotivated or whatever the reasons might be of maybe performance dropping. I just don't think he'll allow it. And hopefully we have Ferguson back. I know he's out for the Forest game, I think is a huge blow. I don't think he's going to be fit. I think De Zerbi's already confirmed it, unfortunately. So we have got and I think Welbeck came off injured as well. So it looks like we might have Dennis Sundar up top.
Every bit of faith in you, Dennis. Forget what I just said for the past 50 minutes. Yeah. You're the one. You're my number nine.
You'll score a hat trick. Don't worry about
it.
You know
what? But yeah, like, it looks like, if there's ever a moment for Dennis,
like a false
really,
nine or something.
Yeah, prove it and step up. It's now, mate. Like it really is an opportunity for him to really prove it. And you know, you've got the whole of the Brighton fan base in the palm of your hands here. We're going up there to watch you, and it's going to be a big, big game. I think this is a big game. It's another big, all of them are big games. But it does feel like a big one. You know, Forest City Ground on a
Every
Wednesday night.
Every game's a cup final.
BT Sport. I don't know. Those relegation teams on a BT Sport or Sky on a night game always seem to scare me a little bit. And I think, especially after a semi-final loss, it's big. It's big. It's big for morale. It may not be big in the league, but it's big for morale. So you want to go win that game. And I think if we do, it'd be a big moment in our season because it's going to be, you know, it's important psychologically to not throw that because then doubt sets in, not just in the players but in the fans, and you don't want that.
Yeah.
I think we can stop that from happening if we do go win.
Yeah. And I know I said this earlier, and we shouldn't be these entitled fans and, you know, looking down on teams, but if we are going by league table and we're going by form, Nottingham Forest are a team we should be able to beat based on form and league position, which doesn't lie. The league table doesn't lie.
Dennis Undav's level. I'm joking.
Talking of injuries, they've also got like I think 8 players out. Obviously Henderson's out, which is a key
They signed 30 others in the summer.
Yeah, true. They've got like a 100-man squad, to be fair. So they should be able to deal with injuries, unlike us. But I think, yeah, they've got a lot of key players out. And they are on, I think, a four-game losing streak, I believe.
Yeah.
I think they've won in the last four games. No, five? Oh, sugar. Oh, wow. The last time they won was Leeds back in February the 5th.
Brilliant.
So,
brilliant. Fantastic. Yeah, so good tonight.
That's that written in the stars. Yeah, that's finished.
I'm in big trouble.
They scored past two against Liverpool on Saturday. Morgan Gibbs-White and Nico Williams.
Yeah.
Cheers. No, I'm just, yeah, obviously you've got to give them some props because I do rate some of their players. I think Nico Williams could be, he's got potential to be. He's got potential to be a good right back in the league. Gibbs White is good. I didn't think he was that good when he signed. I questioned obviously the price tag like many people did, but
it's done well for him.
He has been really, really good. And then they got Keylor Navas, which is just so random. Like how have they got that goalkeeper in goal? Who's conceded quite a few as well. He obviously doesn't have Champions League Varane and Sergio Ramos in front of him anymore. He's got McKenna.
Champions League or, Varane.
McKenna and yeah, and who else? God knows who else. Who's the other centre back they normally play? We've got Matt McKenna guy and
McKenna.
The Brazilian guy. He used to play for Atletico.
Oh no, that's the left back, Lodi. No, I'm talking about the centre back.
It's another Atletico Madrid player. Hold on.
Oh really?
He plays centre half. What's his name? He scored. Oh, hold on.
Felipe.
I'm gonna get this because it's gonna bug me.
Yeah, fair.
Felipe, that's it.
Oh, is it? Okay, right.
Is that him?
Yeah, such a random squad.
Brennan Johnson.
Brennan Johnson's good. Thank you for reminding me. He actually looks pretty decent. And also, when we played him at home, it was that game where we thought we were going to have an XG curse under our new manager, yes. Deserby again, wasn't it? I think we... Was that
nil,
after
nil
Liverpool?
With 70
was that
shots,
after we drew 3-0 with Liverpool?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something like that. And just... And that was a midweek game as well, wasn't it, Ryan?
Yeah,
I think it was
with my sister.
Miserable weather as well.
Yeah, Mia came with, and we watched it, and we were just like, "Oh my god!" Because there was a guy next to us who was raging, and I was thinking, "Here we go again. This is exactly the same as COVID. Like, no different. It's going to be people."
Yeah,
being
that was those worrying times.
But
look how far we've come since. I don't know if Maz is still looking, but Ryan, what do you reckon for tomorrow's score prediction? Well, Wednesday, sorry, score prediction.
Yeah, Wednesday. I mean, yeah, as you say, we should be winning, shouldn't we, really? I mean, if you take away the FA Cup, you go into that game, you think, yeah, we look at the league standings, we need to be winning, we need to be up in the European spots. So you want a 3-1 win, a 3-0 win. I have a feeling they'll score just because, you know, it just feels like, I don't know, it feels like it's going to be tougher than it should be. That's what I've got that in my head. It's going to be a hard game. So I think probably... You know, maybe we win 1-0, maybe we win 2-0. I think we'll keep them out. We'll keep them out and I'll say 2-0. We'll finish them off. If we're on our game, if we bounce back, we get one, nerves will calm. If we go in at second half, we haven't scored, doubt creeps in a little bit. You start wondering, you know, are we falling off? Are we not? And then you don't want that. So hopefully we score nice and early and you know, first 20 minutes and we're in our groove. That'd be nice.
We have the quality to do it 100%. I feel like, mate, I feel like it'll be similar to the Bournemouth one more recently, 2-0. Mm-hmm. You know, get a goal kind of midway through the first half and then game off later into the second half. I feel like that could be it. Yeah, it's not going to be an easy game at all. Mm. And yeah, especially so quick after playing on Sunday. And, you know, again, it'll be probably a very similar 11 again. It'll be, I can't see us making any big changes and those players will be straight back on the pitch again. Whether they'll be fresh and ready for it, God knows. But Maz, score prediction thoughts?
Yeah, no. So I agree with both of you. I think it's going to be a really, really tough game. I actually went to Nottingham Forest versus Sheffield United last year in the playoffs.
I met you before, I remember.
And do you know? We went for a coffee. And the atmosphere was. I've got to give credit to them. It was electric, and I know.
Yeah.
Of course, the you know, it's very different games. It was a playoff semi-final compared to a midweek Premier League game. However, they're still fighting for, you know, to stay up in the league. They've still got things to fight for. And I think the atmosphere will be electric, well, for them.
A night game at BT screams electric.
Because obviously,
annoying.
Yeah, Exactly. So, like, that could definitely, you know, come into it, a factor. I'm not saying, you know, crowds win games, but that can definitely, you know, like Ryan said, if it gets to the 60-70th minute and yeah, and it's still 0-0, even if they go 1-0 up, that's going to be a massive uphill climb. So I just hope that isn't going to be the case, and hopefully we can bounce back. And yeah, I'm going to go with a very tight 1-0. I just want us to win. We've got, like, however way we do it, just please get a result. And yeah, I think it's going to be a really, really tough game, though. I think Forest will be up for it 100%.
Jeezy peeps, man. Wait, jeezy
peeps, man.
Yeah, 1-0. 1-0.
1-0, yeah, tight.
I'm saying 2.
Okay. I'm saying 2. Even though I probably don't sound like I'm saying 2. But yeah, I think maybe 2-0. I have faith that we have that quality in our team to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Especially as they're obviously not playing as well at the moment. I guess that is it.
We do have some good memories against Forest. We do have some good memories there. We obviously had the Ojoa moment, very famous moment.
Sidwell?
Sidwell in the... Sidwell as well. He scored 2015-16. Volley, hit the ground, knockout. Very late on in the game. Such a memory right there. The yellow kit.
I thought you were talking about Bristol.
3-0 at home as well. First game of the season of the promotion year. We've had some good games against them. Murray's first double, I think it was. I think he got 2 goals in that game. His first game back for us. That was against Nottingham Forest. We've had some good moments against them.
Sound like Jack Albion right now, Ryan.
Yeah, we had Will Buckley scored a volley there. Stephen Ward scored a goal there. Yeah. We've had some good memories there, and I don't see any reason why we can't continue. Right. The Albion 2-0 win. That's it. Solly March double.
Thank you for listening. that'll be nice if he scored, wouldn't it? And I'll just run over to the fans. We all hug and kiss.
Just before you do the outro, massive shout out to everyone who showed love. Literally, the Green Man
at Box Park
around the stadium. Literally, the amount of people that came up to me and just said like how much they love the podcast and just showed us so much love. Like, yeah, big shout out to everyone. Like, appreciate everyone. Also, as well, someone tweeted me and Ryan going like, "Love, really nice to meet Ryan and Maz. Like, really nice guys." And then someone replied going, "Maz looked miserable." I was like, "Did you see me after the game? Because prior to the game, I was in a very good mood. Actually, I was very smart. I'm always a very smiley person." So whoever said that, you're fake news. You must have seen me after the game when I was visibly very upset. For a good hour after. So maybe you saw me after the game. But no, yeah, just a big shout out to everyone who showed love. Like, the amount of people that took pictures and showed love was incredible. So yeah, a big shout out to everyone.
Yeah, there's a lot of love. I do love going to games and meeting, listening to people saying how they love the pod. It is good. It's good to know we're doing.
I cringe when I say this, so I can't do it. Thanks, guys. Anyway, let's wrap up. Sorry. Anyway, that's enough.
Thank you.
Cheers. Yes. Anyway, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening, watching, and viewing. Oh, sorry, quickly, one random thing. Why was our touchline of staff like so incredibly long? We had literally had like everyone's family on the touchline.
It was really nice, but it was just so long.
We had so many people out there. Great.
We actually... Yeah, togetherness, exactly. That's exactly the word I was going to use. Also, as well, comment down below.
That was all our scouts, mate. That's what they were.
So, show some love to Solly March. Comments down below. Right,
March. Fill the comments with March love.
March
love. We love you, March.
March love. Clap. Someone said to me, someone goes, "Do you come up with a podcast title? Because I feel like you do." And I was like,
"Fuck off."
Obviously. Obviously, I do.
That is so funny.
No, you're not taking all the credit for that.
That is so shameless.
Are you actually taking a mic? I suggested that Ben like tinkers it by one word.
More recently, you two are shameless. Sorry, one last thing. Paddy Power done a tweet about Undav, which was quite funny. I thought I'd put it in my notes. I wanted to say they put Dennis Undav must have been signed when Brian's recruitment guy was on annual leave.
Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Make sure you do like, comment, subscribe and all that good stuff. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify as well. Leave a review if you're new. And we'll see you very, very soon after Nottingham Forest.
Peace.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.